so we pray. Heavenly Father, we're always grateful for the opportunity coming together with your people somehow. As we look to you and recognize your presence, something begins to happen. Fear begins to go away, conflicts begin to disappear, and we come at grips, Lord, with ourselves, with peace in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No longer, Lord, are we in our own channels, but we're in your channels, Lord, and we're grateful that now, by your word, Lord, we are coming into that great day which we're looking forward to, for you made it abundantly plain to us that this is that hour when he that liveth and believeth in you will not die, but walk on into immortality. And we believe, Lord, all the covenant promises have been met now by you, and we've become the recipient of grace, heirs through Christ. We cannot praise you enough tonight, Lord. We simply relax in your goodness and bask in the sunshine of your presence. Amen. That we might ripen, Lord, not according to what men think, but according to what you said. And unto thee we shall ascribe the honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Certainly a privilege to be here with you. And I'm always thankful that we can meet with the children of the Lord. The message tonight is going to be quite simple. It has to do with Thanksgiving. And this is, of course, a Thanksgiving day. Now, personally, for many years, I have not been one to take a special commemorative day and to adapt a message to it, but I noticed that Brother Branham did, and I appreciate why he did it, because the people are already in a spirit of the hour of that day. And I don't say it's always the right spirit, but at least there's a moving toward it. And he said it's important to be in the spirit. So on Thanksgiving, Brother Branham gave us a Thanksgiving message in 1965, and he always gave us Christmas messages and Easter messages. And I believe it's right tonight to try to bring a message dealing with the subject of Thanksgiving, and in it hopefully we'll not only be celebrating a national commemorative holiday, but we'll be bringing out what Thanksgiving ought to be to us according to the Bible, and especially in this last hour. Now, to do that, I want to take two or three portions of Scripture, which I'll use. And each portion is found in the book of Revelation, and each portion has its setting in heaven. And by that I mean that John was caught up, and in a vision he saw in heaven what was before him, though this would later take place on earth. So be careful that you understand, I know what I'm talking about from the Patmos vision and the 24 elders. So I'm not going to try to take it from Brother Branham's viewpoint all the way. That is what he said about some of this, but I'm talking in terms of Thanksgiving, so you understand that. And each portion gives a part. Each portion of these three settings in the book of Revelation give a part to mankind redeemed. And we'll just read them in order, which are Revelation 4, 1 to 11, Revelation 7, 12 to 17, and Revelation 11, 15 to 19. So going then, first of all, to Revelation 4, 1 to 11, we read, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind." And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, as we read this scripture, I think it is amply clear that we are introduced to what is a worship of God. And you'll notice in the first three verses, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first verse, the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking to me, and said, Come hither, and I'll show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And in the eighth verse, it says, And each, concerning those beasts, the living creatures, each had four, each of them had six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and which is and is to come. So the one that sat on the throne was God, because they say it is God, and they are worshiping God on his throne. And then it says, when those four beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. So we see very amply here that this is the worship of God, which is designated at a future time. Now, this also has been set before us in Isaiah 6. I'll just read it for you. Don't need to look at it. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, and that's the Lord of hosts, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple that stood above the seraph. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly, and one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. So we notice immediately here that this scene embraces the worship of Almighty God. God is being worshipped as he is on his throne. Now, secondly, we want to look at exactly who is involved in this worship of God, which worship is evidently acceptable to him who sits on the throne, because he is receiving it. So we go back again to Revelation, this fourth chapter, and we notice in verses 6 to 8, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, the fourth beast, it should be living creature, was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and which is and which is to come. Now, of course, these are those four living creatures that Brother Branham identifies, and all scholars have identified, as found over in Ezekiel 1-14, which verses we won't particularly read, but we might go to Ezekiel 1 and read verses 23-28. And under the firmament were their wings straight, and the one toward the other, every one had two which covered on this side, every one had two which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty. The voice of speech is the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads, and when they stood, and they let their wings down, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. Now, we recognize that was the Son of Man. You know, we're looking, Ezekiel looked down the ages. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire, around about within it, from the appearance of his loins upward, and the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, as it had been brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about him, or round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard the voice of one that spake. Now, we see here then the form of the cherubim chariot of God, and this represents, that is, the four living creatures represent the living church that is living in the power of the resurrection of Christ. Now, that's on page 613 in the Revelation book. So, this cherubim chariot of God then represents or stands there representative of the bride, and they are living in the power of the resurrection of Christ. So we're looking down in past the resurrection, what we're really doing. Now then, Revelation 4 and 4, it says, round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now these are redeemed men. They're the 12 patriarchs and the 12 apostles. And again, we're looking back farther down the road into the resurrection, and they are seated on thrones and they are wearing crowns. That's page 634. The third thing we notice is that when this worship takes place, Revelation 4 and 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, we can read, if you want to go back to it, in page 622 and 23 of the same series, that this is not a throne of grace, because that has gone. It is a judgment seat, and only the redeemed can stand there. And we use the terminology stand in the light of the scripture that says, if thou, Lord, should judge iniquity, who can stand? So therefore, evidently there's a people who in the face of this throne, which is a judgment seat, are able to stand, and God is enthroned as judge. Amen. Now, we go to Psalm 103 and 3, and we'll just look at that a second. says here, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, and I go to 130, that's really what I really want. The very verse that I quoted, if thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, who, O Lord, should be able to stand, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest fear, and so on. Now, this redeemed church, or here is the redeemed church, in the presence of Revelation 4 and 4, which Brother Branham signified as a Mount Sinai. Now, when you look at Mount Sinai, you've got to go to 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, and see what is written concerning that. Let me try to get this pulled back here. I don't know if we're going to make it or not, but I can't see without light. I don't want to pull anybody's cords up here, but now that's much better. I can begin to see. All right. In the third chapter, then, of 2 Corinthians, he is speaking here in the 7th and 8th verses. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be incomparably glorious? Now, what we're seeing here is what came from Mount Sinai, and you will see from Revelation 4 here, wherein this is not a mercy seat, but a seat of judgment. It is not a seat of grace, where God is standing, and there is a group that is able to stand in the presence of this one who is thundering forth, which would of necessity be him who thunders forth As Brother Branham said, we know that God was going to judge this world by one Christ Jesus, who is the Word. And when man stands there without something to counterbalance what he is within himself, it is absolute judgment and destruction for the individual. He simply will not be able to stand there, see? He can't do it. So, here is a Mount Sinai scene, whether we want to recognize it or not, the prophet said it was, in which we find a church in the face of the thunderings and the condemnation coming from him who demands a perfection. A bride is able to stand there because of the covenant token which is signified by the rainbow which is over him. So therefore the bride is a covenant people of a covenant God, and she is found in the same chapter of 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter of 17 and 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now you can see that there's room then for two people here. And one is standing with perfect justification and can stand, and the other can't. Because one has caught a glimpse of condemnation where God is thundering forth what man is. And you cannot take from his glory because it's the all-glorious God. Visualize yourself, if you can, in your mind's eye, spiritually standing there with that throng of people, and there is judgment. And you see the majesty and the power and the wonder and the glory of God, and you cannot help but be awestruck by the fact of it.
Amen.
You see, there is that God of glory.
Amen.
And he is absolutely glorious. And the law that condemns does not detract from his glory, but makes him all the more glorious. Because he cannot be approached unto. And yet you will see a people standing there who can stand there. Now what has happened from Mount Sinai is simply the image and the revelation of man, which gets you nowhere. But these redeemed have caught the revelation in the Holy Spirit being baptized, and they're standing there, and the image of Christ comes upon them, and they reflect back to him, and there they stand in his image. Now God cannot condemn God. So you see, what we're seeing here is something fantastically wonderful. Now, this scene follows Matthew 3 and 12 and Revelation 22 and 19. Okay, we go to Matthew 3. And in the 12th verse, we read, and we know whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now remember, what you're talking about here then is wheat in the image of wheat. First fruits in the image of the first fruit. Children of God in the image of the only begotten Son of God. And here is a chaff. So we see what we have. We have a Mount Sinai. We have a judgment. Alright? And this then is because of him whose fan is in his hand. And it says when he stands in his hand, he will purge his floor and he will gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff. Now that's a harvest scene. Now remember then, he's got to appear on the scene as the harvester. And when he comes at the end time, he will separate between the chaff and the wheat.
Amen.
Now who is to say who is chaff and who is wheat? It is going to be God who says it. So therefore, this one who is at the end of this time, whose fan is in his hand, gathering the wheat in the garner, looking down the line at what we see here, which takes place not too distant from this very hour, we see then he must be a judge. That's what Brother Branham said. He said the same pillar of fire that came back, the same pillar of fire that took upon him a human form, when that human form was set aside, the same Spirit came back as a pillar of fire and began to settle himself over the people and give a portion of himself to the people. And he said that same pillar of fire met Saul. Paul, he said, who was Saul? And then he interjected quickly, the same pillar of fire at the end time is to come right down here as it was before Sodom and Gomorrah when the judge of all the earth declared who was righteous.
Amen.
Now you do what you want with it. I believe the prophet.
Amen.
And I say what the prophet said.
Amen.
And if you get it, get your COD. And start at page 1019, begin reading. That's right. Revelation 22 and 10. And Brother Branham categorically said in the rapture tape, the Revelation 10, 1 and 12, Revelation 1 and 12, the one who stood there, he phoned Jack Moore, the theologian, and Jack said that was the glorified Son of Man. And Brother Branham, the Holy Ghost, denied it was the glorified Son of Man. Then the reincarnation had not taken place. But he was judged. And discernment proved it. Whose fan is in his hand. And the gathering reading the garner was a prophetic message with the prophet. Right. Revelation 22, 10 to 19. Let's categorically see it. And he said unto me, seal not the things of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Between Revelation 10 and 4, when the book was sealed, and Revelation 22 and 10, the book must have become unsealed.
Amen.
And he said, don't you seal it. Now where's your seal? It's the seventh seal opener, is it not?
Amen. Amen.
Make up your mind.
That's right.
I made up my mind, you don't. Jesus Christ took that book one day in the temple and he opened it, and he alone could open it. And he closed it, and he closed the place, the day of vengeance, but he also closed the place where it says to comfort those that mourn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me tell you, the one that closed it is the only one that could open it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And when it opened to him who is here in the form of the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles. Because to Israel he came in the flesh, but to the Gentiles he came as a spirit. Do what you want. At the time when these seals are broken, the book is open and no one can close it, he that is unjust still. You try to change that. You say, brother, there, where does it put you? If I'm unjust, I'm unjust. I said it. If I've added to the book by preaching the presence, I will be here to receive the praise. If you have denied the presence and he is here, you will be here. You say, how do you know? We could both be wrong. We could be, absolutely.
Right.
Then if we're not, somebody's going to be here and somebody is not going to be here.
Right.
He that's filthy is filthy still, righteous, righteous still. He that's holy, holy still. Behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. Who opened the seals? William Branham? By no means. By no means. Anybody knows that. Said the Holy Spirit swept into the room.
Amen.
He said, I thought you might know what was going on, them seven angels.
Mm-hmm.
God, Holy Spirit, and ministering in seven theophonic forms.
Think of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.
Come in flames of fire. Seven mighty angels surrounding came down. Brother Branham categorically said the camera took the picture of that one in the cloud. It was the same picture. A pillar of fire over his head. One God. When the book is open, it can't be closed. And at that time he said, I come quickly, and he will, with the reward with him, to give every man according as his works shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the first and the last. Blessed is he. They wash their robes. They may have the right to the tree of life, enter the gates of the city, or without her dogs, male prostitutes. Preachers that build organizations for the whore. You do what you want with it. I believe this. Whoremongers, sorcerers. Sorcerer is a man who's a druggist. He gives the wrong prescription. Whoremongers can't leave organizations, can't leave their thoughts and the things that they have taken in for the things of God. So the scene we talked about follows what we see here. The book is open. The wheat's gathered in. The judgment is set and the throne's cast down, Brother Bannon said, we're cast into the earth. Where Daniel saw them empty, this one saw them filled. So my point here is not so much the thought of the eschatology involved, but the fact that there is a great scene coming that John saw. It is the worship of God. A bride is standing there. Right. The 24 elders, the 4 living creatures. Now stay with me because I want to bring a point here in a moment. Watch this scene. The 4 living creatures are leading in the worship service. And they are crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and which is and which is to come," Hebrews 13:8. This is Elohim. And Brother Branham categorically said that Elohim came down to Abraham, and the word Elohim means the one who becomes. And you'll notice that Brother Branham, so-called pidgin English, he always used the terminology become. He used the Hebrew without being a Hebrew scholar. Now to visualize this great scene will visualize it with the vindicated God on the throne. I use the term vindicated God. Verse 11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." This God has thoroughly identified himself. This God that people had identified to them through all those ages are now being worshipped in this great scene. And the words come, "O Lord, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were and are created." Now, just in front of him, that's this great God, are 4 living creatures, and they're crying, "Holy, holy, holy." And they are speaking to the great unchanging and ever-revealing God. As Brother Branham said, he merely changes his mask. And remember, revelation precedes preeminence, which means there can be no true worship outside of revelation. And preeminence precedes the going back to the Garden of Eden. Now watch carefully in verse 9. "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks." Thanks. "To him that sat on the throne and liveth forever and ever," the 24 elders, "then they fall prone." At the time, the 4 creatures that represent the true church, which is living in the resurrection power of Almighty God, and they are there in that great worship scene, it says they are giving thanks. And the message tonight is thanksgiving.
Hallelujah.
They stand there giving thanks. And when they give thanks and praise in this great service, there is an instant response by the 24 elders who are so thankful. And remember, they are redeemed. And if they are their redeemed, then we are their redeemed. Because the bride is in the throne judging. The queen sits with the king. And we have a representation there. And Brother Branham said, let one person be a representation. One person in the body do it. All have done it. All are represented. Search what he said. That'll make you to know why the church is not to be charismatic from this point on. William Branham had it for us. Just get the scripture in order. We had a prophet to get us in order for us. Now, in that great swelling anthem, which is a great swelling anthem of the recognition of God, the worship of God, the thanks to God, they say this, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power," which means you get all of our thanks, all of our honor, all of our glory, and they cast their crowns down, see, on the grounds of exactly who he is, which has been revealed to him, to them rather. Now what is the reason, or the tenor, or the theme, the very motivation, or rivers of inspiration for that worship service of thanksgiving? What is it that inspires them to that great anthem? It is the recognized and enjoyed sovereignty of God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Because it says, For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God, you are God, and you do exactly what you want to do in the way you want to do it, and we recognize it. You are God.
Hallelujah.
That's what it says. But you say, Brother Bailey, you're weaving something in there. Do what you like. That's my business. I'll take my chance on it. Well, I want to ask you a question. What is God? A sovereign being who bows to no one, who has no mind but his own decisions but his own, and he carries out his own decision in his own time and his own will, and man stands back. That's God. Now, if you've got some milksop God that you can twist his arm, let me tell you this. He belonged to milk-fed Israel, the backsliders of the wilderness, who knew certain laws of God and used those laws. And their hearts were so corrupt that God let them use their laws. And he said, I gave them their desires, but they found leanness in their soul.
Amen.
The bride is not a lean soul person. She's rich and real in the things of God. And let me tell you, Brother Sister, let's get this flat. I don't think I preach any more than I preach right now. I could quit, and I'll tell you this, that Brother Branham preached Israel at the Red Sea. And he said, when he came, he said, I left this place a church. I left this people a church, and I came back to find the cult. They had repudiated the sovereignty of Almighty God, and the prophet said they're a cult.
Amen.
Have you heard the tape? You better hear. Not that you haven't, I know you have. Now, after the dust of the ages has settled, and man has redeemed all back to God, believe it or not, the first recorded thundering worship service of thanksgiving has for its theme the sovereignty of Almighty God. Ephesians, the first chapter. Now, I wish I was a real sweet person like Brother Unwin to preach a real sweet sermon. I don't know the word, the meaning of that type of sweetness when you're engaged in the battle of death.
Amen.
I've never seen a soldier on the battlefield yet take off his armor and give it to an enemy, take off his helmet and give it to the enemy, take off his sword and said, here it is, go to town, I'm locked in mortal combat with the devil. Do what you want. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't we read it back on the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who dared to say we're blessed with all heavenly blessings on the fact that before the foundation of the world we were chosen? Oh, what? I stood there, and I chose him, because I saw the truth. Hallelujah. Why don't you read it that way? That's the way you read it. So much for your hogwash love. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly placing according that he has chosen us in him before there was one speck of stardust. Before the Logos even began to form around him that he could present himself to that which he would create to be presented to. Blessed be God.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, brother, sister.
Glory.
Let the earth tremble. Let everything fall into chaos and disorder. He predestinated me.
Amen.
That we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good purpose with which he, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. For thou hast made all things for thy pleasure. God, do you mean to tell me that you wrought this all out for your pleasure, that you had your hand in this, that you set the bounds of the sea, that you had a, what is called a limited election, a limited predestination, a limited atonement?
Yeah.
You do what you want with it, brother, sister. Stay with the face of the man. Go back to your legalism. That's your business, not mine. I prefer to stay with the prophet because that's all the hope I've got. Because if he isn't going to do it, I'm going to tell you flat. It ain't going to be done by Lee Vale, because I am undone and I am done for. I don't know what people want other than this. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who created all things, and I'm one of them, and for your purpose and for your pleasure, you did it. Oh God, you did it. And the legalist stands up and said, hallelujah, isn't God glorified by me?
Right. Amen. Amen.
You see, it isn't so much me, you see, my dear friend, says the legalist, but it is what he gave me to do with, and I did it. Then, if thou hast received it, why do you act as though you didn't receive it?
Amen.
I thought a gift was a gift.
Yeah.
You know, we put God like we are. Now, son, if you wash your face every morning and brush your teeth every night, and you take that shower and you keep your socks clean and the stuff in the drawers, I will give you, on your birthday, a lovely knife. You didn't give that kid nothing. Now, come on, I got you over a barrel. I know you don't think you're over a barrel, because I can just about read your thoughts, and I'm not a prophet. Because you say, but see, I did give it. I thought grace was unconditional.
Amen.
I thought I read the conditions right here. It was upon condition you were foreknown in him.
Amen. Right.
That in the fullness of time he'd bring all things in heaven and earth together, and we see a bride standing there. And out of there comes the rumblings. Out of there comes the rumblings. That's like that man Brother Branham talked about. He said, he'd gone to heaven, or he was dead, and he was on his way up, and he got there, and they said, who are you? He said, I'm so-and-so, I'm a servant of God, I'm a minister. Well, he said, man, we don't have any record, you come in. Well, he said, just a minute, now just a minute. There has got to be a record. He looked and he said, I'm sorry. Well, what am I going to do? Well, he said, you could appeal to God. Well, he said, if I got to do, I got to do that.
Yeah.
So they took him there, and pretty soon he came to this great light which no man could approach unto. And out of the light thundered the voice, have you ever told a lie? Well, he said, I thought I was one of the most honest men living until I heard that voice, and I knew I was a liar. And went down the catalog, he said, I'm finished, I'm gone. And he heard a voice say, Father, he stood for me on earth, I'll stand for him here.
Amen.
Where are you going to go, Billy? Right now, I feel like I could launch into 15 different subjects, all on the same theme, but I'm going to hold myself back for your sake, not mine. I can happily die up here preaching. I don't want to see them carry you out. Now listen, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he gathered together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and earth. See, there's a bunch up there already. And whom we have obtained in heaven is being predestinated according to the purpose and the work of all things after the counsel of his own will. His own will. Just a minute. Is that the same one back there that they're talking about? I got an idea. There's several gods. Can't be even just two. There's got to be three or four of them. Thunder, lightning. Seven church ages. Seven manifestations of human flesh of the Spirit of God and seven church messengers, of which the last was a great prophet, which God himself inhabited. Yeah. Apostle Paul said, you have not so been taught of Christ, if so be you heard him. And all they heard was Paul.
Right. Yeah.
William Branham comes on the scene and said, when you see God descend from the heavens, stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did.
Yes.
He's telling you that God was in him as a prophet because that's how God declared himself. And he said, oh, far be it, far be it. Well, hallelujah, let it be near to lead up. He's the person who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. His own will. Just a minute. Is that the same one back there that they're talking about? I got an idea. There's several gods. Can't be even just two of them. There's got to be three or four of them. Thunder, lightning? Seven church ages? Seven manifestations of human flesh of the Spirit of God in seven church messengers, of which the last was a great prophet, which God himself inhabited? Yeah. Apostle Paul said, you have not so been taught of Christ, if so be you heard him, and all they heard was Paul.
That's right.
Amen. William Branham comes on the scene and said, when you see God descend from the heavens, stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did,
yes,
he's telling you that God was in him as a prophet, because that's how God declared himself. And he said, oh, my dear, my dear. Well, hallelujah, let it be near to leave there. I want to hear.
Amen.
I want to hear him say, little bride, you didn't do it at all.
Yes.
You're the virtuous bride of the Son of God. You were tricked into it. I said, hallelujah, I was tricked into it. I knew there had to
be. Oh, God. I receive it. Amen.
And Jesus tricked me out of it. No wonder I like Halloween trick or treat. Get relaxed. I ain't going to hurt you, buddy. I don't want to get facetious either. Get you relaxed. Now listen. I got five or six gods. You see one? These were foreknown, predestinated. Now watch them. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first hoped in Christ, in whom you also hoped after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that you believed, you received the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now it tells you right there you're going to make it. Now this bunch here that stands literally in front of a Sinai condition. No problem. No problem. They were predestinated. The blood stands there perfect in the bride. The Holy Spirit sealed them in.
Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound to save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
A lost child of God brought back through the redemptive grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen. Paul said, wherefore, you people full of the Holy Ghost, after I heard of your love, your faith in the Lord, your love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks to you, making mention of my prayers, that now that you are full of the Holy Ghost, you really do need the Holy Ghost. I don't see that there, but it says about the same thing. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him.
Right.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that's the eyes of the heart being enlightened. Enlightenment. Who's the light? You may know what's the hope of his calling. Not yours, but his. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What's his inheritance? He only inherited one thing. Everything else he worked for, he inherited the name. And where's the name? In the bride. Mr. Jesus. That you may begin to know what that name really means. That you may really know what was his from the Father. You've got it. Okay. Now he said here, and what is the exceeding greatness of power to us who believe according to the working mighty power, the raising of the dead? You haven't had that. That's not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's not the baptism. You already got it up here. He's praying, whatever spirit he's praying about will come into the church in revelatory power, raise the dead, and take them into rapture. Now you do what you want with it. Because Brother Branham said, justification gave way to sanctification, sanctification gave way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the baptism with the Holy Ghost gave way to the Holy Ghost.
Right. Amen.
What are you talking about?
What he says.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You can't figure that out? It's right here. Daniel said in the week, the Spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, bringing the church in and revealing what day we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal these deep secret things. And here he is.
Yes, amen.
Here he is. Sovereign God. Sovereign God starts in his mind, predestinated through the channels which we'll talk about, brings it to the end where he himself comes down. Because who came down but Elohim? Now listen, let's go back to COD. Church Order Doctrine. Page 1019 to about 22. Categorically states that that same one that was in flesh went back to a pillar of fire, divided himself amongst men. The same one met Saul on the road to Damascus. The same one absolutely at the end time is down here Elohim.
Amen. Amen.
Now, who said it? I didn't.
Yeah. All right. Amen.
And he said concerning the Son of Man, he said, I am not the Son of Man. The pillar of fire is not the Son of Man. It's in the form of the Spirit. You tell me. Well, you understood here. Was the pillar of fire here? Where's it gone to? Choice it's gone back home. You prove it. You show me scripture. He comes down, goes up, comes down, goes up, comes down. You show me. You can't do it. The same prophet said, that one that came down to lead the church out sets himself at the head of the church in order to raise the dead are not raised. And where is he? He's here. I know you're stunned because you can't get rid of the baptism of the Holy Ghost that's in your mind. You can't do it. That's your trouble. You don't realize the same pillar of fire that was giving a portion of himself to the members that were coming in was the same individual who had not given himself to Paul at all, met him on the road and said, I'm Jesus.
Right.
The same one on the straight street gave a portion of himself, then took him to the desert for 3 years. And Brother Branham said, just think, he said, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it.
Amen.
You tell me he's not here. Well, you see, Brother Vail, I knew he's always here. Not like this.
Right.
Not like this. He there was born a little tiny baby boy. At age 10, he was the same person, but not like your baby. At age 16, the same person, but not like your baby. At age 25, he became a father. He wasn't just like your baby, but he was that one. I'm a great-grandfather today. I'm still here.
Amen.
What is it? Is it this? Or can you get it?
Amen.
I hate to insult you. I don't mean to. If I have, forgive me. But don't forgive me too much. I may come right back. You do what you want.
Amen.
The prophet said it.
Amen.
1962. My notes are in disarray. From that time, this is my ministry to declare that he is here.
Amen.
Tell that to Pentecostists, you stupid jerk. You know he's here.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me tell you something. 50 billion people full of the Holy Ghost do not constitute God. Get that flat. 6 trillion people full of the Holy Ghost do not constitute God.
Amen.
The Elohim is not a company of people or gods. He's one God.
Amen.
Who predestinated millions of sons.
That's right.
Do what you want. Now I'm entirely aware that this understanding of the sovereignty of God goes over even this message like a lead balloon. It's a wet blanket. It's an anticlimax to all of those, or a lot of those, maybe the majority of those who say they believe the prophet. The prophet who divine sovereignty, the sovereignty of God, in foreknowledge, election, and predestination, and to placate the Pentecostal said, you don't like the word predestination, so I'll call it foreknowledge. I can't stand guitars, so I'll call it a flute. Now, brother, sister, listen. I'm deadly serious. Because millions of people have heard that statement. And they're completely fooled. The angel that came to Brother Branham said, it's too late to get your wires crossed. It's too dangerous.
Right.
He was trying to teach Pentecostal babies doctrine. Manhood came with the prophet, revealing Melchizedek. To the legalist, there is no joy and thanksgiving in this thesis. But never mind him. Let's mind the Word of God.
Amen.
Let's see if I'm on target. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation.
Amen.
We are commanded to give thanks here on earth because of election, because of sovereignty, because of foreknowledge. You often wondered why your brother is a 10 times better person than you are, but God chose you?
Right.
How did you make him? Your brother had more savvy, was much nicer, nicer every way. What about Jacob? Now Jacob had some bad qualities, but I like to defend Jacob for his good qualities, but I certainly concur with the prophet that Jacob was a bit messy. He used a word which is shyster. I'm not against using the word because that's what he was, but he didn't end up that way.
Right.
Because inside were some factors that when they were rained upon by the Holy Ghost, the man became a prince with Israel. That's not shyster any longer. Although, let's face it, there was still some shysterism there. But in the resurrection, which he's in by God's grace, it's over. Finally over. All right, he was a nice boy to a degree. But Brother Branham said that actually Esau was nice to his parents and was literally a nicer person. How come God did not choose Esau? He chose Jacob. Yeah. The legalist can't understand that. But that's not the question, whether he understands it or not. The question is there a sovereign God? And the answer is this. And this verse, brother, sister, now let's get this straight. I am setting this scene as following the opening of the seals and the day in which we are in. And we are interested because we have to know whether we are in that throne group or not. Now, this which I have read is 2 Thessalonians 2:13, which follows the unveiling of the Antichrist to the world, which is anti-word. And he said, you are not anti-word. And the reason you are not anti-word has nothing to do with you. It has to do with him.
Amen.
And the only ones that will not be deceived in this age are the elect. Because the very elect cannot be deceived. And it's not just elect, it is the very elect.
Amen.
It is the group that will be standing here. And they shall not die. You know, that's my promise today. I'd like to die and get out of here. But I can't. You say you could be dead tomorrow. That is true, but I don't have any promise for that. Now, you can laugh all you want, but you're in the same boat, you bunch out there. So don't start sitting down there thinking you're pretty smug. Because you can be smug as you want, you can't make it work. There isn't one of you that wouldn't mind getting out of here. If you thought you could just sit down and sort of fold your hands and draw up your knees like old Jacob and pass on to that beautiful land beyond the river. And I'm just about the age where I can say to the Lord, look, 70 years is up, what are you going to do about it? And Sister Rumpin's been waiting around here quite a few years after her 70 years, and there's nothing she can do about it. Because the promise is not death, it is life. He that liveth and breatheth in me shall not perish. You believe this? Yes. Then how can I believe I'm going to die? Not saying I couldn't die. Well, I don't have a word to die. I've got a word to get out of here by standing on my feet and walking in. That's going to be fantastic. Now I'm like Paul. Which way should I go? I'll go his way. Why? Because I can't do it my way. Am I going to stand here and bargain with God? Ha! One fellow had a heart attack. So I wrote him a letter. And I said, look, fellow, you ain't getting out of here. I said, I've had my, my reservation in for 10 years ahead of you. And I ain't out of here yet. He didn't die. He didn't die. I don't believe he's going to die. He's going to have to wait around here and get changed. Now there's no difference. Change is change. Worm to butterfly. Hallelujah. Just depends on what kind of cabbage you've been eating. Determines the butterfly. Then the question can arise. Where do you get that sovereignty? Is at the heart of the restored worship just because it mentions God as creator? Well, that's a simple truth that has been besmirched by man over the ages. But let's just go back again to Book of Revelation, the 4th chapter, 11th verse. And at the end of that verse, he said, but for thy pleasure, they are and were created. Now that means pleasure, means by God's own determination. Now let's find out what that is. Pardon me. We're going to go to Romans the 8th chapter. And if I only get part of this sermon preached, it doesn't matter. You can figure the rest out for yourself. I mean, you know, there's no big deal once you get the tenor set. And we know that verse 28, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are thee called according to his purpose. Now, what was his purpose? That you might gather one in heaven and earth, all things that were in him all together.
Amen.
Now, look at, if that's his purpose, who's going to stop him?
Amen. Right.
You see, look, let's get this right. Brother Branham was in a Pentecostal meeting. And it was Florence Shakarian, I believe, who was dying of cancer. And Brother Branham said, thus saith the Lord, she is going to die. And the Pentecostals got all worked up in their balamic. Is that a good word? Well, Brother Ungren says so, and he's my boss at this moment. Says a good word. They got all worked up in their Pentecostal fervor, and they came up, thus saith the Lord, because of so-and-so and so-and-so, daughter shall live. And Brother Branham said, could be. He said, but my revelation, 2 o'clock should be gone. Watch the clock. She was gone at 2 o'clock. Now, what did it matter if all the Pentecostals were going to come up in arms against God? God says she's going to be dead. What did the praying, the fasting, everything else do? He's the sovereign God.
Amen. Right.
Men cannot twist the arm of God. Like I said a while ago, if you stand before God and you don't understand the things of God, you're like old bastard Israel, and you can sort of twist his arm, and you'll end up just in a mess. They died in the wilderness. Now, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now listen, every single seed has to come the way the life is in the seed.
Amen.
Now remember, the seed itself, as you talk of seed, is a chemistry. It's a chemistry. And I like Brother Branham's terminology because it's the best in the world. Now I could say a bunch of chemicals, but I love what, I didn't used to like it because I was very precise with my words. I'm very imprecise now. I got that way, didn't imprecise. Man, I'm smart tonight. Get them words, those words just right. I couldn't stand Brother Branham say chemistry. I said, now the man really means chemicals. But the word chemistry is brilliant. That puts me in a brilliant class, you caught that? He said, a chemistry. Now look, that which is around the seed, you can see, but a billion microscopes will never see the life in the seed.
Amen.
But you give it a chemistry, which is in that seed, and the sun and the water hit it, you watch the life manifest itself in a form, and the form is not the life.
Amen.
What you see are the attributes of the life coming into manifestation.
Amen.
In other words, there is a source that is indicated and vindicated through a chemistry. You see? All right, we're looking at that thing there. Now, God had a seed, and he foreknew, and it says here that he foreknew and he predestinated by election to conform to the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So now the Bible tells us, even before this one took on a human form, God had already arranged that by the process of him taking on a human form, which were already sons in limbo and lost, he would bring all of us into his image. Now, I want to ask you, how many of you people had anything to do with your birth? Now, how many, especially girls, maybe some men too, they get a bit woozy about themselves, because when men can be just about as nutty as women when it comes to loving themselves, that'd be worse even. But when many more look at her eyes and say, oh, if I just had those lovely, beautiful gray eyes. Because gray would match my hair so much nicer. Well, just go ahead and change your eyes. You haven't got anything to do with your eyes. Well, I would just love to be one of those broad shoulder 6-footers. Hogwash. They take too much room. Listen, can just give me good health. Forget the 6 feet.
Amen. Amen.
But you see what I'm talking about? You had nothing to do with the predisposition, and you are stuck with the disposition. Just what it says here, that God foreknew these sons. Now, when he foreknew, he brought about a natural election with his spiritual election. Why can't people understand that, Brother Branham said it? He said there's a natural and there's a spiritual. God had to have an Adam and an Eve so the children could be brought forth. I don't care if they're brought forth in sin. God's bigger than sin. He's got the issue entirely met. Now he says here, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. Whom he called, then he justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Now listen, we are in the final stages of the doctrine of redemption and the doctrine of justification.
Because Luther could not stand and say, you are the elect bride of Christ that was tricked into it. You are the virtuous, righteous, living bride of Christ. Only William Branham could say that. Now, he said, Dratagory, that's only that way because he said, your jeans. Now, he qualified and he said that the jeans, the bride, had her jeans in God. Now, these jeans come forth in a natural election. But because they are spiritual, in a chemistry, God is bound to take care of the chemistry.
Certainly does. He certainly does. Because you always were seed. And the blood atoned for you. And the Holy Ghost joined you back. Because it's only seed that can be born again. Now the whole thing lies here, listen. He just said, now, what should we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against him? Well, like they say, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Well, that's right, no man can, but you can. And I say, what are you, some kind of a chimpanzee? Well, let's get some answers tonight. We don't just believe the word of God, brother, sister. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who dares lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Now listen, who dares bring me to court and lay a charge when God has said there is no charge? Who is he that condemns me to death? Yea, it is Christ that died, yea, rather risen at the right hand of God making intercession. How can God defeat his own plans? He can't do it. All right. Let's go to the 9th chapter. And we don't take time to 8 to 24. But this is on the sovereignty of God. It says in verse 11, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not a works of him that called it. It was said, the elder shall serve the younger. As is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall they say? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and compassionate whom I will compassionate. So then it's not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Dr. Newell made the most outstanding statement the world's ever heard. When it says concerning the fact of that you're saved by grace, you're not saved by works, and he put it this way, he said, the man that stands on the shoreline of New York and tries to jump to over to France, he said, the man that jumps the furthest is in worse danger because he can drown the quicker.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. Simple sinners can call upon God, but the equivocator never gets there. Never make it, brother, sister. Says, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy. I'll harden whom I will. Thou wilt say, then, why did he yet find fault? Who has resisted his will? Nay, old man, shut up.
Amen.
Just shut up. You weren't called in on this question. You were told. Yet the church sits back and equivocates. The church sits back and denies that God has a sovereign right to do what he wants to do. You tell me why you had to be full of the Holy Ghost and John the Baptist had it from his mother's womb. You go ahead. You go ahead. You know the answer? He was seed, the same as you and I.
Amen.
That's all there is to it, brother, sister. But man doesn't want those answers. Man wants his own. Does not the potter have power of the clay, the same lump to make one vessel honor and the dishonor? What if God willing to show his wrath and make his power known and endure the much long suffering, the vessel of wrath, fit destruction? Now the people rise up and they say, and I just admitted here, this distinctly said that these people fitted themselves. That's exactly right. But the Bible says the vessels unto honor God fitted. So let's not equivocate again, let's get it right. Now, I hope we're seeing something here. The sovereignty of Almighty God, the foreknowledge, the election, the predestination, all of which, both material or physical and spiritual, have their greatest recognition at times of junctures. And this is where some people will take a juncture and they'll say, well, sure, that's true. God will predestinate this man, but he didn't predestinate you. Now, just a minute. Body's body. Body's body. That little sperm, that little egg, with the right chemistry from the woman's body, brings forth a baby, period. Oh, yeah. Well, you say, the thing is, that sperm and that egg, they just brought forth the spine. Or they did. What about the heart? Well, I don't know about the heart. Somebody's sick. Now, come on, I kid you not. I'm not fooling. I don't use these illustrations in my sarcasm just for fun. If it was, I'd try to be a stand-up comic and make money. Just sell out to the world.
I'm trying to use every trick in the book to get you to understand these principles. And if I demean myself in answer to God, I will do it for your sake to try to get you to see the truth.
Amen.
And if you're blind, I've wasted my time. And I demean myself. And I might as well go home and look out the window and feed the birds and forget about everybody. Why should I bother? But let's get the understanding. God is a sovereign God. And the body is one unit. As Brother Branham categorically said, you were not started as a male, that is a human cell, and God added a dog, and then a cat, and then a horse, or this or that. Though I must say, spiritually, and I won't finish it. I'm nice like Brother Unger. Now listen, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Men look around and they're critical. And they say, why God would do it, he did it for you. Now, if God is as wise as people say he is, and he did it for you and me, why are we carping about it? Why are we fussing about it? Why don't we take it and rejoice and say, thou art a sovereign God, and I'm glad I'm a part of it. It was at a juncture, I said, that this is greatly known. God chose Noah, a juncture. God chose Abraham, a juncture. God chose Moses, a juncture. God chose John the Baptist, a juncture. God chose Paul, a juncture. And God chose William Branham. For what purpose? That the elect may follow the manifested elected one.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Abraham was manifested to be the elected one, and we are his children. Moses went down manifested to bring out the elect. Noah stood there manifested to bring out the elect. William Paul the Apostle stood there to the Gentiles manifested to bring out the elect. And William Branham stood there manifested while you and I are not. Manifested and vindicated to bring us out. Do what you want with it, I'm telling you the truth. Hey? For there's no such thing as the head elected and the rest not. Let's get the understanding, brothers, because we were back there in him. We took on human forms that led us down. Then that one left his form in glory and took on a human form to bring us back. Now let this mind be in you which was in Christ, that if he could put aside his glory and come down and be us, let us put aside our stupidity and our vain glory and become him.
Amen. Amen. Glory
to God. For even as in Adam all die, in identical manner all are made alive in Christ. You never got here by your own will. Adam brought you here if you're a child of God. Right. And it's not by proxy. And it's not by identification. It is so. Oh, I'm a child by identification, like some you are. You are either a child of God or you are not. Somebody comes by and says, I'm a child to leave here by identification. I say, hold it, bud. What are you looking for? Going to sit at my table, put your boots under my table, eat my food, and like some you are out. Identify with the rest of the bums. But once he's my child, I can never repudiate him. He is my child. I say, that's not my boy. But he is. But you see, God deals in a way that you and I can't deal with our kids, that subject. He said, look, I'll clean you up and take you off the scene, but you're my boy. Sovereignty. 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 God alone can make choice. And that choosing was before the foundation of the world in Jesus Christ. Before the foundation of the world. It is all of him, and of him, and for him. It is from him, and to him. But this doctrine is misunderstood and it's hated. Right now, and I am not fooling, brother, sister, I'm very serious. No doctrine of this prophet, William Branham, is so shabbily treated worldwide by those who claim to believe in William Branham as is this sovereignty doctrine that he presented. That's true. I'm not going to get personal, but I'm in a position to be personal because I know the history of this movement. I'm indelibly connected with it. And I can tell you, all those people who purport to be the leaders, and every single one goes against the sovereignty of God, they cannot understand it. And they will categorically rise up against the church age book and say, Lee Vale did not say what the prophet said. Let me tell you tonight that there is a God in heaven, and this book opened before me. Let me tell you about written in the church age book. I was confronted by a preacher. I will not name his name, but he never confronted me again because that's over.
And he said, you're wrong. He upset me. I phoned Brother Branham. 45 minutes in the day, I didn't get one penny from Branham Tavern, one penny from anybody outside the goodwill of Almighty God. I paid that phone bill myself, 45 solid minutes. I said, Brother Branham, I will read to you what's in the church aid book. And he said, well, he'd read it. He said, now hold it, Brother Branham, hold it. I'm going to explain every single word and what I mean by those words. I read it carefully and slowly. I explained every single word. And he said, yes, Brother Bale, that's exactly right. And here is some more scripture. This Bible opened before me. Knowing there's a God in heaven, my hand raised, I'm not lying to you. You do what you want. You do what you want. But why are the books written against them? Here's what the Red Sea. Cult! I left the church. You're a cult. I'm a cult because I deny the sovereign God is in everything and sovereign God is doing everything. Listen, let me tell you sovereign God. Let's see if you can take it. God knew every flea and how many times each flea would beat his eyeball.
Amen.
And Moses stood there by the power of God and created yards and tons of fleas, and God knew how many would take to make a pound of lard. He said, sovereign God? How can sovereign God, the great chemist, the great architect of the universe, the great one who deals in valence and in weight and the atoms and the molecules, how can he bring you back if you die and go to gases? How can he bring you back and glorify you if he's not sovereign?
Amen.
Come on.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Something's wrong somewhere. William Branham said it, and I agree. God knew every flea and how many times he would bat his eyeballs. Brother Branham said the virgin birth of Jesus Christ was nothing compared to an ordinary birth. The great computer mind of God knew the sperm count of every male and the billions and the trillions of sperm and the little hair-like things in the female that they call ova, which could develop into an egg. I guess people got kind of new from Brother Bannon said she had millions because the scientists tell us 250,000. But ask a geneticist and he'll tell you fact. Those little hairs in there come to the millions and they could be eggs. One man and one woman could be like a salmon and populate the earth until we're standing on each other's shoulders. God knew the sperm count and the egg count. You know what he knew? You see how solemn he is. The odds against two individuals being born identical are astronomical. There's no such thing as truly identical. Ain't no such thing. Why? Because they get born one after the other, and they die one after the other. There's no such thing as true identity. There are more than 8 million ways the 23 chromosomes of a mother and 23 of the father can combine. More than 8 million ways that 23 chromosomes can combine. The odds against any two children having the same complement of chromosomes are about 70 trillion to 1. And since each chromosome may have 1,250 genes, the odds against identical individuals reach as high as 1 with 9,031 zeros behind it. Then you say God's not sovereign? What are you talking about? The computer mind of God. What are you talking about?
Amen.
Yeah, I'm beginning to see why these people didn't rejoice. Because man, after all those billions and billions and billions and trillions and trillions and trillions and God knows how many trillions because only God knows, of that ability to bring forth, here I am and I'm one of his.
Amen.
You're looking at a child of God. You say, I don't like what I see. That's fine. That doesn't bother me at all because I do. I'm in trouble with you. The doctrine is misunderstood. It's refuted by men who say they believe this message. The so-called self-appointed leaders are the ones who do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Because you see, they want God to step aside and be somebody. And how can you compete with God who has a computer mind and the power to pull the levers and shoot the coins in the direction he wants them shot? We are coins, you know, gold of God. We will be in the repository of God. We will be in the garner of the golden grain. You say God did it? He did it. It boggles the mind. But you see, God wants to boggle the mind. So did you say, Lord, I'm boggled. Now, please bring in your mind. Sovereignty of God does it. You see? Those who seem somewhat amongst us understood this. They would step aside so God could get the preeminence. Because, remember,
Christ, the mystery of God revealed, demands, number one, revelation, second, preeminence, and the third is a move back to Eden. How are we ever going to get a resurrection and go back to the Eden unless he gets the preeminence?
Amen.
And you got a bunch of people saying, well, I can't believe in that sovereignty. And here is the first great scene of worship, of redeemed mankind, and they're being led by those four creatures which represent them, and the thunders are coming out, and they're saying, glory to God, in the face of destruction and damnation, here stands a bunch of thoroughly redeemed, and they say, God, you're sovereign. You did it all. You did it for the thundering, and the lightning, and the voices, and you did it that we could stand here as trophies of your grace. Yeah, don't look so glum, smart nut.
Praise be to God.
You can't get happy now, you won't be happy then. If you don't have the truth now, you won't have it then. Not because Lee Dale said so, but this is the truth. Because Paul said, we are bound to give thanks for the election doctrine, for this understanding, because God did it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
How could you and I be smart in the sight of God with that computer like mine? This may be our last Thanksgiving, our last memorial service, I hope so, because I am anxious to really stand there and to praise him for his sovereignty.
Glory.
I have a weak smattering, a weak understanding. I might have a glib presentation. I may have a deep presentation. I may have a shallow presentation. I may even be a liar, but I'm going to tell you something. He's sovereign.
Amen.
And when the people stand there, after the seals are open, after the earth shakes down, and God stands there, a mighty judge with the bride, there's going to be a heavenly presentation of worship unto Almighty God, led by those four beasts who's screaming, holy, holy, holy.
Hallelujah.
And the bride is going to scream back, casting the crowns down. It's because you're God.
Amen.
And all things are at your pleasure. The sovereignty. See? Now, the prophet said that when he would decrease, the coming one would increase.
Amen.
And he said, if that was a man, then I wasn't that prophet that was supposed to be. I want to ask you a question. Who is to increase? Is it your baptism with the Holy Ghost? That is ignorance. It is he who will increase.
Yes, sir.
The one who baptized you. The one who gave you the life.
Yes, sir.
That is the one. See? It is now that he is present as he was in the days of his flesh. And when he stood there, they said, tell us, plainly who you are. He said, I told you.
Yeah.
Oh, they said, come on. That one is not here. Then he said, who do you think is doing these things? Where do you think I get the works from? If I am not that one that here. Well, they said, now look, he is coming, but he is not here, for you are not that one. I want to ask you a question. Who was it that appeared down there in the river?
Right.
Who do you think? I want you to know this is sure. You listen to this tape. You might have thought today I was trying to say this about myself. I was packing this message. I have no more to do with this message and nothing, no more than just a voice. When you see God descend from the heavens, stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did. How did God ever declare himself? God was in the prophets. You see, how much of God was in William Branham? How do I know? How do I? The question still is up in the air amongst many of us. When Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead, was heaven empty? I ask you a question. Was it? I don't know. I want to ask you another question. Where is heaven? Brother Branham said, we don't know if up is down is down. He said it could be opposite. But I know one thing, east is not west. And my sins, as far as east and the west. When you see God descend from the heavens, stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did. How did God ever declare himself? God was in the prophets. You see, how much of God was in William Branham? How do I know? How do I? The question still is up in the air amongst many of us. When Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead, was heaven empty? I ask you a question. Was it? I don't know. I want to ask you another question. Where is heaven?
Amen.
Brother Branham said, we don't know if up is up, is down is down. He said it could be opposite. But I know one thing, east is not west. And my sins, as far as east and the west, not north and south, not up from down. Ask you a question, what is up, what is down? What is heaven? You say it's a dimension. I can buy that. Then if coming down from heaven is a dimension, he's in our dimension.
Amen.
What's all this hogwash about? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and William Branham categorically said, that was that one doing all three, Jesus doing all three.
Amen.
And he said, my message. He said, I went to you, Pentecostals. I went to you. The signs and the wonders you took. But when I came with my message,
right.
He said, you turned me down. That's the show. And when you see God stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did, that's in the prophet. And we saw God. When we saw William Branham, full of God, declaring the word. You say, you're a deity. What are you? You ain't backslidden. Because you ain't got nothing to backslide from. I mean where you are because the gloves are off. William Branham was not God per se because God does not have a beginning. Even William Branham said Jesus was not the same as God because Jesus had a beginning. Let's get that flat. Well, did we see God or did we not? Well, that's the whole thing. Then where was he? Oh, he's up there somewhere. Come on. You tell me. Let's go back and read some more. Knowing the ones at the end time, he tells you all about it. He said, I know we're doing nothing, no more than just a voice. And my voice against my better judgment, I want to be Trapper. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river, I was only standing there when he appeared. Now where's the river? Up there? I want to know. I want to know. We've got some great scholars here, no doubt. Tell me where the Ohio River is. Oh, it's way up there in the sky. Hogwash. Some of you men took me down there to see where the prophet was. After the prophet himself took me down there. We never got into Sheraton Continental skies. It was on the river. Let's read it again. I was only standing there when he appeared. On down in the river. Not the Milky Way. Here. We see, he always was here. I got no problem with that. He always was here. This is the time he appeared. That's not my baptism and your baptism. That was William Branham's baptism. That was the baptizer himself.
Yes, sir.
Who raises the dead? Your baptism? Hogwash. The baptizer raises the dead. Who takes us up? That spirit takes us up. And he said, that spirit's amongst us now becomes incarnate to us. We'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And be King of David, the altar of the lovely, and so on. Come on, let's get what the prophet said. I'm not the one that appeared. I'm the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happen first of the year. I'm only one that's near when he does it. Near when he does it? I'm near the chair. Chair, do something. If the chair was God, it would do something. I'm near it. No, I'm near it. I'm almost touching it. Look, I'm trying to show you something. Language is language. Language is language. When Jesus revealed God, the only begotten that was in the bosom of the Father, declared him, it means he positively showed him by words. Now, William Branham said, I wasn't. He said, no, he said, the prophet was not the Son of Man. He revealed the Son of Man. Then he said, Brother Branham, he said, are you the Son of Man? People say you are, but I thought the pillar of fire was the Son of Man. He said, neither one. I am not the Son of Man. The pillar of fire is not the Son of Man. It's in the form of the Spirit. And where was the Spirit? In William Branham. God moving through him. God manifesting. Then the day came when the Holy Ghost, God per se, moved into William Branham. And God stood before us and declared himself. Let me tell you something, brother. He said, let's get this flat. Let's just look at William Branham as William Branham prophet. Let's look at him as Elijah. That man, on more than one occasion, and I was there in West Palm Beach when he said it in our church, That is where our church sponsored him. West Palm Beach. And I could never find the tape. But I found it on a later tape. He said, if you only knew who I was, you'd everyone be healed. Now you put that down and recognize that. Even recognizing Elijah. The sign of the resurrection. She said, Brother Dale, what about the strike? What about this? Shut up! For God's sake, shut up and listen for one thing. The prophet said, if you only knew who I was, William Branham, you'd everyone be healed. Now quit equivocating. Quit rolling your eyeballs. Quit rolling your thinking. Just shut up and simmer down. Oh God, if I'd have just said, William Branham, I know who you are. Oh God! If I could have recognized. Yes, listen, we're getting truth, brother, sister, not hogwash. Not the simperings of some stupid mind. Not some preacher up here trying to make himself somebody. I'm talking about God and William Branham, not about Lee Dale. And what Lee Dale missed is what I hate. Now, William Branham could not do for Lee Dale what God can do, but God for the prophet was a real man, and he said, you're a friend of the prophet, you call on me to do you a favor on me. I saw some of you jawbusters, I don't know if you're or not, how you acted and kept me waiting the prophet. Better watch. You better watch. Let me repeat. William Branham, the arch liar of the age, or the most truthful man we've ever seen, said, if you only knew who I was, you'd all be healed. You say, well, Brother Dale, he was talking in the third, in the first person. Jesus talking through him. Could be, but I don't believe that for one minute. Because you know that same person Brother Branham talked about, and you're sitting here and you are not healed. Amen. I don't believe there's one person here that isn't sick after some kind of a sickness. Well, let's be honest with ourselves. Quit this horsing around. I'm not the one that performs these things, foretells these things happen to where they are. I'm only near when he does it. That's only a voice that he used to say it. Wasn't what I knew, it's what I just surrendered myself to. He spoke to you, it isn't me, it wasn't the seventh messenger, it was the manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the messenger, his message, it was the mystery that God unfolded. And Brother Branham categorically said, the spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church the hour in which it is living, bringing it in and telling the great mysteries. And who's doing it? That spirit that Paul spoke of. God. What's so hard about it? I've been accused of preaching two gods, hogwash. Amen. Let's preach a dozen if that's the case. The angel was not the Son of Man, he was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ, form of the Spirit. But a Spirit's got to have someone to use. Brother Brown said he could have used the sun, he could have used the wind, he could have used the ring, but he didn't use the man. He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word. What's the body word? It means what the body is made of. It's this word on life. It's this word enlightened. This is Christ in letter form. Let God manifest his word as he did in our day, and it's no longer a letter form. It's a human form. It's living. It's vibrating. It's showing what God can do. God interpreting his word and manifesting it by interprets by manifesting, which means he brings it into an order that we can see. God interprets by manifesting.
Amen. Right. Amen.
God explained his mysteries by doing things. And the juncture came under William Branham. He stood up there and he created squirrels. Oh, yeah. I keep telling people all about this because the only thing I know. See, the creating of squirrels is very fine. But you see, I never saw him create squirrels. So where does that lead me? It leaves me in West Palm Beach in 1953. The prophet is there with the cord around his neck, as I told you many times. he's got the mic around the neck. And Billy Paul said, now Lee, be very careful, Brother Dale, what you do. Because Daddy hates that cord, and make sure he doesn't trip on it. So I'm watching like a rat, and I'm watching, you know, a cat watching a mouse, and I'm watching it. And Brother Branham, he shouldn't have done it, because you should never pull a trick on Lee Dale. Because you might succeed. He picks up the chair and he whirls around three complete times, and this cord is completely around his body. So, oh God. Billy Paul said, don't do it, and I did it. But I didn't do it, but I did it. So my heart is beating, and I'm sicker than the dog up there. And I said, well, just a minute now. One little teensy pull is all I need. And in that pull, just hopefully, it'll go zoing. It did. right around his ankle. Now, if you want to know what I mean, any man will come up here, please, and hold your ankle together and don't move, and I'll just breathe on you and you'll fall over because you're a fulcrum. We got the fulcrum right down here, and I just give you a push way up here, and you go down. Because the proportion is multiplied by the strength I use on the length of your body, and 20 pounds, you're gone. You can't hold yourself. So now William Branham has got the cord plumb around his feet, the ankles, and if he gets a push, he's gone. Oh, my God. So listen, this is one time, I blink a lot like everybody does, but I didn't blink this time, I watched, and oi. And suddenly, there was no cord around his ankle. Ask you a question. Is this what Einstein said? When two forces at immeasurable speed hit each other, they just go through each other? Now you tell me. You're intelligent people here. There's some of you got more answers than I don't know who. I want you to tell me what happened. And then when you tell me what's happened, I'll let you tell me what I should preach and what I should believe. Now that's fair. Because I'm not going to be suckered. I saw it. I was there. He didn't move. The cord didn't move. You say hallucination. Let's have some more of them. Only this time you pick up the chair and let's see what happens. I just love it. Dirty old veil, some said. It wasn't in vain. Let's go to the second scripture. Revelation, the 7th chapter. And 12 to 17. Says, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving. Another thanksgiving scene. And honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are those that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And he said, sir, you know. And he said, these are they that came out of great tribulation, that washed their robes and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they, well, before the throne of God, serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Now listen, they are the ones who they serve before the throne of God. Now remember, the bride is in the throne with the Lamb. They serve day and night. And he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. Hunger no more, thirst no more, and so on. Now the thought is here, we see another great scene. It's the same scene, a Revelation 4, but it's much more detailed. Yet the original group is there with a greater throng than ever. And at this time, it says here that the angels are around the throne, and the elders and the four beasts, and now notice, the beasts are falling down before the throne, the same as the elders were falling down. There's a great thanksgiving scene here. And the thanksgiving scene is because these people have white robes. Now, I realize that I am not going to stick to doctrine per se, that these are they who come out and will form a foolish virgin group that's apart from a bride. Because though the bride serves her husband, remember, she is on the throne with him. So these could well be the mighty throng that comes up and they enter along, something like 144,000, so on. The point is this, that you cannot be there, whether you are virgin, wise, or foolish, without that robe. There's no way. And the robe is a white robe, and it signifies, in our case, a wedding garment. And it says over in the book of Matthew that there was a great wedding put on, and they bid the beast that the people come, and there entered in a man he had not on a wedding garment. And the man came and said, sir, he said, we are really, it was nice of you to come, but there's a little stipulation here. And it kind of puzzled me. How did you get in here without a robe? And he said, I kind of liked what I saw and heard, and I thought I'd join up. Oh, he said, it doesn't work that way.
Right, amen.
And there's only a limited number of robes because there's a limited number of people and the robe goes to the person and you don't have it. Now, you've got to go out. Now, that's great tribulation.
Amen. Right.
Now, Brother Branham said they'll sit amongst us. That's what he said. Is that right? That's what he said.
Amen.
He said that person out the robe sits amongst us. And they enjoy message. They enjoy this, but there's... Oh, they're like the person in Israel. They said, oh, Rabbi, great Rabbi, we know we should shed the blood. We know the blood ought to be upon the doorpost. We know, Rabbi, we know these things. He said, why don't you do it? Oh, Rabbi, now let's hold it, Rabbi, hold it. You see, we know you're right. We know it's absolutely, we know that you are that man. Absolutely, you are right. Well, he said, put it on the doorpost. Well, if this message is right, believe. I can't understand these people. They say William Branham is a prophet, and then say, well, you know, forget it. What in the world is a prophet or not? You know that William Branham, in his treatise, gave the original, the exact meaning of a prophet, which is an interpreter. You say revealer. I got news. You go back and follow it, and you're going to find William Branham said quickly. He's the one that interprets. Revelation, of course, is an interpretation, but we often think a prophet just gives the word. That's what I meant to say. But literally, the prophet is exactly right. Now, here at the end time, brother, sister, we had a prophet who said, give me a woman of such character who'll stand still till she hears the message. Give me that woman of such character, she'll stand in the waters of separation until she drifts. He said, I believe my ministry is to dress the bride. The man stood there in absolute prophecy when the sword hit his hand, and he said, the sword of the king, he said, that's the word of God. Bring on your holy vesture with the holy word of God standing there.
Amen.
That's exactly 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go to it and see what it is. First Corinthians 15. And he said here, this couple must put on incorruption, won't drink out the last trump. That's the last church age message. And he said, drink your nine. He said, this corruptibility must put on incorruptibility, and this mortal put on immortality. Now, that word in the Greek is an inner garment, and it absolutely stresses the fact that it is a vesture. And in this case, the vesture investures the individual. And you go to a wedding. And here's a woman, she's the bride. She's got 1,500 bridesmaids for all I know. But there's one woman stands out about everybody. She is the only one dressed as that bride. Now listen, her vesture is the sign of her investment. Now here's the great Masonic Lodge. And they elect the Grand Poobah. I don't know the first thing about him. He's the Grand Wise or the Grand Master. Now they're going to make him the Grand Wiser, and they bring out the throne. And when they bring out the throne, they bring out the garments. And they put the garments on him, and they crown him as the Grand Wiser. That's exactly what was done at the time of God dealing with Aaron, when he had Moses. Bring out the garments, put them on the man, pour on the oil. He's investured. He's the high priest. The bride is investured with her inner vestments. She's been made holy by the blood. Now her garments are put on by the word, inner and outer, and she's all glorious within and without. And the thanksgiving unto God is, thou hast arrayed us in white righteousness, which is of God. See? All heaven begins to echo.
Hallelujah.
Now you notice, there's not one mention of the Apostle Paul or William Branham or anybody. Now later on they sing the song of the Lamb and Jesus. That's okay, leave that be, because I don't know the first thing about it. But I know this, that nobody's mentioned, and the bride stands there, and the beast stands there, and everybody stands there, and they're screaming, and they're screaming, and they're screaming. And the first reason they scream is because God, you are God, and you chose us. And they just scream.
Amen.
Then the next thing is, they begin to say, now how is this done? Oh, we're here because this white raiment. Where'd you get it? When you go to the wedding, the governor gives you the garment. William Branham, his ministry was to dress a bride.
Amen.
Not just to call a bride up. How many people were... Listen, look, bear with me, but understand this. You're not foolish and I'm not foolish. We look around us, and we know literally many, 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 many people that came out of organization, but they come nowhere near this message. They come nowhere near. They don't want to come near. They won't even sit amongst us. That's fine by us. But let's watch now. 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. 22nd chapter. And I read it to you. It said, when the seals open, 10th verse, don't seal the prophecy. The book is open. And when the book is open, get ready for what? Immortality. Blessed are they who wash their robes. Not do his commandments. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life. In other words, it is a renewing of the garment. The renewing. We're ready for the wedding supper. We're ready for the great day. Now that is why there was rejoicing and thanksgiving. Now, brother, sister, let's get this. If we believe that William Branham was called to separate a bride, if we believe like Moses, he has led us out of Egypt and Babylon, if we believe the truth of the word, that there must be a wedding garment on, we are putting that garment on at this present moment under the shout. Because that's what it says, the word of the Lord. Bring on your holy vesture, the vestments of a bride with the holy word of God standing. Read it yourself under the seventh seal. The prophet said so. I am here to dress that bride. Find me one of such character. And men say, there's got to be character. But the character is, stand still and hear the word. Stand still in the waters of separation until you're fully clothed in that word. Now listen, we've got a mighty good Thanksgiving day today, brother, to thank God, first of all, for sovereignty. I often tell the people, and I don't mean to use myself, but what else can I do? When Brother Osborne saw that great time in Portland, Oregon, when that demoniac came and threatened Brother Branham, and men scattered because he could have bowled him over like 10 pins. And the man, Brother Branham said, be Satan, because you challenged the servant of the Most High God, you'll fall over my feet. And the man went down like a snake like this, and he fell over Brother Branham's feet. They had to pull the man off. And the voice said to Tommy Aldrich, this is the way the Bible did it. You can do it too. I never saw it. But when I saw Brother Branham, what spoke in me was this. If you ever listen to any man, that's the man you listen to.
Amen.
I don't say Brother Osborne's wrong. Find one thing I've read. You do what you want. The color of the flower is to attract to the honey that's in it.
Amen.
To get the hummingbird, the bees, and the butterflies there. We saw those gifts operative to bring us to the word.
Right.
Why did men turn the word down?
Mm-hmm.
As Brother Branham often said, they took the trimmings around the box and they let the gift go. True. Let's look at the third. We're just going to hurry along here because you get the picture I'm trying to bring across to you. And we just quit with this because, look, you're tired, I'm tired. If you're not tired, I am. See, and I'm preaching, I'm going to quit when I want to quit. Of course, you can all turn me off by going out. And I understand that, too. 7th chapter in the 7th, 15th verse, the 7th angel sounded, there's great voice in heaven. The king of this world has become the king of our Lord and of his Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. The 24 elders which sat before God in their seats fell on their faces and worshiped, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and which wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Now, Brother Sitter, I want to ask you a question. Because, look, I'll be literally excoriated and murdered on this one, but I don't intend to be. Look, I want to ask you a question. We're going to go back to read some scripture, and I want you to listen very carefully. Paul has been teaching on the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, and he tells you that the dead are going to be raised. As we have borne the image of the earth, you will bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither corruption in corruption. And the question then arises, well, if that's the case, Paul, does everybody die? He said, no, they don't. I show you, mister, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We are going to go into the kingdom without dying, but we will not get in without a change. For this corruptibility must put on incorruptibility, and when it does, death is swallowed in a victory. Death has no sting. Death has no victory. I want to ask you a question. When does this take place? Before or after the beginning of the millennium? And you know it's before. Because we've got to get our change to get out of here. And if you think Brother Branham didn't say that, you're wrong. Because you don't get your change in the air. He categorically said, what we know, you get your change down here, and then you go up there. Now the question arises. When does he take authority and power and dominion over death to say, death, sit down and shut up till I say you're loose? Remember, Brother Branham saw that serpent, and he said, die, and the serpent died. He said, come back, and the serpent came back. Serpent signifies death and sin, the power of the enemy. Remember, the last enemy is death that will be destroyed, and that's the great one we're looking at. And at this hour, we are not going to die. I'm going to ask you a question. How come? How come? I'll tell you why. The prophet said, and I wish I had my paper to give the exact quote. He said, God, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, he used all those terms, comes down
and sets himself at the head of the church in order to raise the dead, the church being his body. Now, my brother, my sister, he comes down to do it. He comes down and makes himself the head of the church. Now, did the prophet lie or didn't he lie? Now, when he said come down, then whatever down means, he wasn't down before. Let's get down to your carping, if you're carping tonight. Let's get down to it. You be what you want. And I got no argument. When I leave here, don't bother to talk to me. I've stated my case. You do what you want. Because I will answer for Lee Bale. And if I teach you wrong, I will answer for you. I'm prepared. You meet me on that one. Because I'm prepared. I'm not boasting. I'm not vain. But I'm going to tell you something. I am set in a channel from which there is no release. Because this is the hour. He that is righteous still. And he that is filthy still. You try to break it because the seals are open. Now, perhaps I don't understand language. Perhaps you're still in Babel where God confused everybody. I don't believe that. He sets himself at the head of the church in order to raise the dead. And he said, death, stand back. He is already here taking dominion because he took dominion over me to get me out of Egypt and Babylon. He took me out of the bondage of my mind. I stood for 4.5 hours or sat arguing because I couldn't believe my ears that all these years I'd heard the prophet wrong. He could not be saying, there's no way he could be saying that baptism with the Holy Ghost and rebirth is one and the same thing. And I changed it and I changed it and I said, you're saying this, you're saying that. No, Brother Dale. I said, Brother Branham, are you trying to tell me that baptism with the Holy Ghost and the rebirth are one and the same thing? And he said, now you've got it, Dr. Toole. Look, when I'm excited, I don't care if it is a prophet. I love Brother Branham, and I was very sincere and reverent with him, but he just drove me plumb out of my skull. And I said, hold it right there. What about your two experiences? And I said, two experiences. And he said, what two experiences? Now, I'm a nice guy, but I'm very excitable, and even a prophet can't get away with that. I said, you know the two experiences. You had them. I said, the time that cross of white spoke in tongues, you ran down the road screaming and exulting, sin forgiven. And I think with something like rain or something in the woodshed, pounding your body, received the Holy Ghost. What about, he said, Brother Hale, we don't go by experience, we go by the Word of God. It's kind of tough on the carcass. Yeah. Why do you think that man raised the dead? Why do you have all those signs given him? Just to prove he had that authority to bring the word. And he said, God, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit comes down. Sets himself to the church in order to raise the dead.
Amen.
He said it. I'm not going to equivocate. He said it. He said, Jesus does all three in descending. And I want to submit to you that he is the head of this church. I am not. You are not. And no preacher amongst us that runs around.
That's right.
Got to be a big shot. Why do you think I stay home? This could be my last meeting, and by the grace of God, it will be. But I'm tired of the constant meow, meow, I'm somebody. Well, I ain't nobody. Unless God sees to it. And I am not vindicated, and I am not an authority. But I believe what I believe, and you are here hearing me preach, and you don't need to come back. That is your privilege, and you may go now. That is your business. I have no authority over you. You came of your free will. And you will go of your free will. And you will do what you want with your free will. And don't bother phoning me, because I'm not going to answer you. I have nothing to do with you. No. I did not beget you. None of you came under my ministry to be born again. I have no hold. You do what you want. I'm clearing the record. But I'm going to preach what I want if I preach it to my wife. And if you want to hear it, you're welcome. But you do what you want about it.
because I am not vindicated. I have no authority. I believe I'm right, or I wouldn't be teaching it. And I'm stupid enough to believe what the prophet said. He does all three in descending. And descend means to come down. And I care less if it's a dimension or not. Something has happened. We've had a juncture. We've turned a corner.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And what he never did before, he's doing now.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's all I'm interested in. That's what I'm saying. And Brother Branham's category, he said, always looking back, always looking forward. What is going on? I'm telling you what the prophet said was going on. He's here.
Amen. Amen.
Well, who called you up? William Branham? Then follow William Branham.
Amen.
Go ahead. Who's William Branham? He died. Don't believe it, do you? Let me read William Branham's own testimony. And I want you to know this is sure. And you to listen to this tape, knowing one's in time. You might have thought today I was trying to say this about myself, being I was packing this message. I've got no more to do with this message than nothing, no more than just a voice. And my voice, against my better judgment, I want to be a trapper. He skins skunks. I'm not irreverent, but Brother Branham is a skunk skinner. You skin skunks, you smell like a skunk. But I like that, because you know why? He takes the beggar off the dung heap.
Yes.
The smells like manure makes him a prince, because he became a beggar on the dung heap himself. Right. Oh, but we're so nice. Hallelujah. I was born with a silver spoon, and I am somebody. My doctor, my brother, my father, and my mother were PhDs in whodunits. Better than a bunch of oneness preachers. I'm sarcastic. I've got a right to be. Got no more to do than nothing, just a voice, and my voice against a better judgment. His best judgment was to be a trapper. His best judgment was to be a trapper, brother, sister. His best judgment. And I see the throng robed in white. And I see the four beasts and the 24 elders. And I see Paul and I see all the messengers. And I see my dedicated friend and lovely brother William Branham standing there. And I say, remember those days when you wanted to be a trapper? Yeah, Lee, he said, remember those days you wanted to be a criminal lawyer? Yeah, we were both pretty thick in the muck, weren't we? Yeah, I remember Brother Branham, because see, every tear hasn't been wiped away at that time. Yeah, but I tell you what, wasn't it good that he did it all good and gave us these robes? Oh, my. Wasn't it nice that he did that? Oh, brother. Yeah. Oh, man alive. It's a sovereign God. It's the will of my Father I declare to do. I'm determined to do it. I wasn't the one that appeared down the river. I was only standing there and he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things, foretells these things, happens perfectly are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. One of those running, those mighty waters, you know. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to that he spoke to. It's not me. It wasn't the seven messenger. Oh, no. It was a manifestation of the Son of Man. The Son of Man revealed in human flesh. He wasn't the Son of Man. The pillar of fire wasn't the Son of Man. He was in the form of the Spirit operating through a man called William Branham. The words of a man won't do those things, but the word of God will.
Amen.
Oh, sure. And he said he's come on down. What does the word descend mean? I'll show you. It's that descend. Okay, right, well, coming down descended, really. But everybody thinks it's something else. I'm not fooling that, brother, sister. You get your thinking lined up. 4.5 hours. It took me to get that one thought, the baptism and the rebirth, one and the same thing. It took me hours, 11 solid days, to get what little bit I could in the last book of life, in the book of life. And that day when I sat and he preached in Yuma, Arizona, December the 4th, 1965, I heard him say, the shout is the message. And I said, oh my God. Brother Branham, I've heard you say a lot of strange things, but this is the strangest of all. I don't think I can go along with that when I heard myself answer myself saying, but when was he ever wrong? And I said, the shout is the message. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory.
That did it. And he said, he does all three in descending. I was not the one that appeared down or up there in the river, beg your pardon. Next thing you're going to have William Branham on that cloud of angels, forget it. You've been on hitting hard, I'm sarcastic. I'm going to get my points across, then I can go. You do what you want.
I'm not trying to be tough and handcuff. I'm just telling you. Words mean something to me because by a man's word he's justified or condemned. Jesus said, find me in one word that I'm wrong. Which of you can confute me? That means one word. One word off, the prophet said. Show me where I missed one thing, he said. Show me where the prophet missed it. Better still, show me where God missed it. Because God was in the prophets. Isn't that wonderful? Do you realize that solves our problems? If God can get into a man, hey, that's great. I can talk to that man. That man can talk to me. Presto. The burdens roll away. The fears are gone. The doubts are gone. What am I looking for? Nothing. It's solved. The universe comes into focus. Everything comes into harmony. You believe that?
Amen.
Well, come on. How do you get to God? Well, tell me, how are you going to get him? You going to turn down the prophet? How are you going to get him? If the prophet's words are hogwash and humbug, what are we going to do? Well, he said, I was just the one he spoke to. And it's not his word. The angel is not the Son of Man, a messenger from the Son of Man. Son of Man is Christ. He said, you're feeding on, you get your life from the body word, which means the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is the word. Living bread that we have is going to put you to the tree of life, and you will not miss one breath or one step. You're going to walk into immortality. Now, if that's not to rejoice over, you tell me what is.
Amen.
Now then, listen. Everything down here is in a shadow looking for the real, right? Then how about having the best, I'm going to quit. How about having the best Thanksgiving we ever had?
Amen.
Let's really begin to thank God and everything from a reality. Not for just a grub steak. Not for something we've got good clothes and good cars and this and that. But let's thank him like we're going to thank him over there, because it's got to start here to get over there. There's not one person going to be in that holy, predestinated crowd unless he's born again. And you get born again down here. You get changed down here. And let's have the biggest Thanksgiving we ever had. And remember Brother Branham's sermon way back on Thanksgiving 65 when he said, oh, he said, I've got a great Thanksgiving message. He said, the old husband is dead, dead, dead. He's not hanging in the closet. He's dead, dead, dead. I left him. Why, he said, we got a new husband, the new living word of Almighty God. Why, he said, the mystical union's going on. He said, it's all set for the wedding supper. He said, if that's not to give thanks for what is. And I say tonight, if we can look in the word here and see what the prophet said and understand what's in the future, then what's wrong with giving thanks? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing, Lord, that thou art God. We know, Lord, that we have been helped by you, that because you said that through the mouth of the Apostle Paul, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we know that that day is upon us.
Yes.
We know, Lord, that there's no more looking down the road. We're looking at what is in the road. You are in full view, available for the full scrutiny of mankind. And Lord, even if I'm wrong, what I believe, what I saw, I am happy with. And I am also enmeshed and entrenched in it. So that I have come to the place where I've got to say with the apostles, if this isn't it, I wouldn't know what to do. And so I'm not doing anything except stay with what I got. Because I believe that this is that true word of God. I am convinced. If I'm wrong, Lord, and if I've led people astray, what can I say? I can't ask you to forgive me. I don't know there's any forgiveness there. I can only say, Lord, that I believe you with all my heart, and I did try to give you preeminence, even though I did mess it up, and I got in the way more than ever got out of the way. I'll agree with that. But, Lord, I wouldn't know what to say or what to do. You know my heart, Lord. Tell me, God, what could I do? Where would I go? What would I do? I can't talk any other way than I'm talking to you tonight, and I've got witnesses here what I'm saying. You know my heart, Lord. Nothing I can do, but what can I say? I believe this. I believe that you are here in a way that you haven't been here before. I might not understand up from down, Lord, but I know that you did come down, whatever that means, and set yourself at the head of the church in order to raise the dead. I know that. I'm because the prophet said so. I know that you came down with a message, and the message separates. It's a gathering of the bride. And I know you use the voice of a prophet. The prophet himself said so.
I know, so far as I know that I know, Lord, I don't know anything else than that. And if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. And I know that people here, some of them at least, are in the same boat that I am in. If they're wrong, they're sorry, but they don't know what to do about it. But Lord, since I don't know what to do about it, and I believe I'm right, I hope, Father, that I'm going to be man enough to do everything I can do about it that is consistent with motivation and the Word of Almighty God. That I can be a true brother regardless of what a person believes, so I state my case very, very strong. And not put anybody out any more than I put myself in, but I know, Lord, this is a decision time. This is somewhere that something's got to happen. I'm stuck, oh God. I'm stuck, Lord. I wouldn't know what to do. The prophet said he was in a tube. I can understand what he means when he's in a tube. I don't know, Lord, that there's anybody around here that's not in the tube. I don't know. So, Father, I commend myself to you tonight. But for the sake of the people, if I'm wrong, God, I do pray that you do something for their minds, because I'm more responsible than they are by far. And I pray for them that something's wrong, that they'll be turned around. But if they're right, Lord, they're not going to be turned around. If they're wrong, they better be turned around. I wouldn't know what to do. Basing everything upon a vindication. Not of my own, but a prophet's. What can I say? Now, Father God, I believe that the shout did come forth. I believe there was a message. I believe the seals were open. I believe there was you that opened the seals. I don't believe anything else. I believe that mighty one came down. Well, the prophet was here. I believe he's still here. Because I believe the pillar of fire is going to lead so many. That's what I believe, because the prophet said so. 3 and 4 pages of a crack, Lord, he said it. I'm standing with it. I don't know what else I can do. And Lord, I know there's lots of things you can do for me, and I'm asking you to do them. To just give me something, Lord, from you that sharpens my perception of the spiritual things of God in a way that is pleasing to you, though it might not please me or anybody else. I would lay myself open to that end. I would do that, Lord, to the best of my ability, or to the best of my ability, Lord, believe that you might do something for me. And I leave it that way. Father, help your people. Give them rest tonight. Give them peace. Give them strength, Lord God. Help them, we pray. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. It's been asked of me, and I know Brother Ungren, but both of us forgot to say anything until this moment. So I'm going to clear the air on it. But for the sake of the people, if I'm wrong, God, I do pray that you do something for their minds, because I'm more responsible than they are by far. And I pray for them that something's wrong, that they'll be turned around. But if they're right, Lord, they're not going to be turned around. If they're wrong, they better be turned around. I wouldn't know what to do. Basing everything upon a vindication. Not of my own, but a prophet's. What can I say? Now, Father God, I believe that the shout did come forth. I believe there was a message. I believe the seals were open. I believe there was you that opened the seals. I don't believe anything else. I believe that mighty one came down. Well, the prophet was here. I believe he's still here. Because I believe the pillar of fire is going to lead so many. That's what I believe, because the prophet said so. 3 and 4 pages of a crack, Lord, he said it. I'm standing with it. I don't know what else I can do. And Lord, I know there's lots of things you can do for me, and I'm asking you to do them. To just give me something, Lord, from you that sharpens my perception of the spiritual things of God in a way that is pleasing to you, though it might not please me or anybody else. I would lay myself open to that end. I would do that, Lord, to the best of my ability, or to the best of my ability, Lord, believe that you might do something for me. And I leave it that way. Father, help your people. Give them rest tonight. Give them peace. Give them strength, Lord God. Help them, we pray. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. It's been asked of me, and I know Brother Ungren, but both of us forgot to say anything until this moment, so I'm going to clear the air on it. There are those that wonder if there'll be another service in the daytime. Let's just make it very quick to find out. If you people want a service, let's see if the bulk of the hands go up. First of all, do you or do you not want a service during the day tomorrow? Now, I haven't seen any hands, so that's fine. That lets me out. Everybody preacher out. But I didn't give you much of a chance. So the question comes again. Who all wants a
two services per day, at least tomorrow, which is Friday. How many of you see? There's hardly one quarter. Well, put it this way. How about Saturday? Saturday better? No, I just doubt if it is myself, but raise your hand. Is Saturday better? Who wants a meeting on Saturday? Oh, we got a little less than that. Now look, I wouldn't cheat anybody from meeting. But if you really want a meeting, it can be arranged. I won't be preaching, but there's other brothers here who will. I don't know if I even preach anymore. I get tired so easily. But if you want a service, that's all right by me. What's the best? The afternoon or the morning? Who would like morning? That's early morning or Saturday afternoon. Anybody like afternoon? Who wants afternoon if you want to come? Well, that's morning. Okay, afternoon. That would be then, say, at 2 o'clock maybe. 1:30? How about 1:30? 1:30 to about 2:30. Okay. What do you say we do this? And you who would like to come, some of you maybe change your mind and want to come. What about if tomorrow afternoon, from 1:30 to 2:30, we have a meeting here, and there will be someone to speak to you, and hopefully to be a real blessing to you, and that'll be fine then. All right? We're going to rise at this time. Jack, you and Betty know there is none holy as the Lord, don't you? Okay, let's play that. There is none holy as the Lord. Okay, Lloyd, you're the one that's in tune, hopefully. If you're not in tune, you better get in tune. Come on up here and start off, there is none holy but the Lord. That, to me, is one of the greatest worshipful choruses I've ever heard in my life. And we want to sing that
as we're ready to go.
Thank you very much. The Lord bless you. I just thought while we're singing, we might sort of amend things a little bit here. Brother Unger did mention questions. Let's put that tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 if you have any questions. We don't guarantee any answers. Let's get that straight. If I had all the answers, well, I don't have all the answers. So there's no use, you know, if like a cat said I was a dog, I'd bite other cats. Well, I don't have the answers. But if you've got some questions, maybe somebody can help you. We're trying to help everybody we can. So that'll be fine, 1:30 tomorrow. And then that would take care of the day services. Tomorrow night again, 6:30, is that right? 6:30. Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. Things like that occurring. All right? We're just going to go and we'll sing Take the Name of Jesus with you. The Lord bless you, give you health and strength. I hope I haven't hurt anybody's feelings. I don't mean to. I'm not against anybody individually. But I do crack down about principle because there are principles involved. Precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little. There a little. Here a little. There a little. I believe it's come to that place. I have to stand for my convictions. I stand for them. I'm not against your convictions. I'll keep off your toes, but I warn you, keep off of mine. That's fair enough. I'm not a mean person. But I'm not 70 years old and pretty soon for nothing, brother, sister. No, not for nothing. I got a conviction I'm going to be there. My conviction is I'm as good as there. You say, how do you believe it? I don't understand how I believe it. All I know is that he's real. I love him tonight.
Hallelujah.
I get soft and down, begin talking about him. Just like the rainbows are all around the sky. Every bird is... There's no more vultures. There's no more crows. They're all beautiful singing birds. Flowers break forth upon the desert. Water comes upon the parched plain. Balm in Gilead. Virtue flowing from him who loves us. That's right. You wouldn't think I felt this way, but I do. And I look out and I can see the new Jerusalem rising up. I don't lie to you. That's what I've been called to. That's what you've been called to. But Abraham was a warrior.
Amen.
May we be like Abraham. Take the name of Jesus with you.